of love, waiting for the light of the sun to follow me till I am undone. Oh, you pulled me out of the mud, up from the miry clay, washed all my sins away. I've been redeemed. I
Good morning and welcome to worship. At this time, we'd like for everyone to take their Connect card from their bulletin and begin to fill it out. If you don't have a card or a pen or pencil, raise your hand and an usher will bring you one. The front of the card has a place for your name and other important information like a current email address and phone number. You might ask, why do I need to fill out a Connect card? We believe there are several great reasons why you should. One, this assists us in acknowledging your presence here today and following up on our absentees. Two, our Connect card provides us with constantly updated information on you regulars, so you won't miss any communications from the office during the week. Three, the box you check on the left front will tell us if you are visiting, and we can respond to your visit and supply future communication. We really want to thank our visitors for coming and invite them to return. Four, on the back of the card, you can request any desired information about us and let us know about things we can join you in prayer for as you encounter life this week. We really appreciate you taking time to do this for us, and we hope to connect with you soon and hope you will come and connect with us again in future services and events. Thanks again, and may God bless you as we continue to connect with Him this morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone today?
Great.
We hope everyone is well. We've got a great group out here this morning. A lot of faces that I don't necessarily recognize and some that I haven't seen in a while. So hopefully everyone is getting over the sickness, getting over the flu. And it is so great to have all of you here this morning. Kathy, why don't you go ahead and come up as she's coming. As far as announcements goes, this weekend we've got a lot going on this coming weekend. We've got usher and greeter training. We've got coffee bar training. But unfortunately, we don't have a lot of people that have signed up for that. Out on the Welcome Center is a sign-up sheet for that. If you are interested in helping out in any of those areas, please, please, please sign up out there on the Welcome Center. That way we can have an idea of how many. Yeah, even if you don't sign up, usher and greeter training is from 9 to 11 on Saturday, and then the coffee bar is from 11 to noon. So please, please sign up for that. You're going to need to come up for the microphone. You got to talk.
Okay, Wednesday nights is very busy this time through May, so we have a couple of requests. We are going to be painting the, repainting the room upstairs because it's been opened up. We've got a nice big space. If you would like to help out, we will be here at 9 o'clock Thursday morning. Please let me know because we'll need a few helpers for that. Also, we will be sending out newsletters. So the kids will be getting these this week. If they color this sheet and bring it back to me, they get a prize out of the birthday box. So don't let them throw it away because they usually go, I don't know where that went. So, oh yeah. So anyway, make sure that they get these back to me the Wednesday after they get them. Okay, and then also the last thing is we have a Winter Bible Olympics game that's going to be on Wednesday night, the 28th of February. I need help with some games. They're very simple, easy to make. If you've got paper plates, if you've got some of those big styrofoam noodle things, you can make these. So if you would like to help out, just come and see me, and I will give you one of these cards that shows you exactly how to do it. The last thing is I do have a supply list out there. We are collecting for the rest of the year because I know in the summer it gets really crazy and we have a lot of requests for people donating things. So we're going to do it this month so that we don't interfere with any of that. And so if you have something that you would like to donate, the list is out on the desk. Just go ahead and sign up and bring it in as soon as you can. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're excited that our kids department is, I mean, it's growing. If you look around when we take the offering, when you see the max exodus of kids this morning, just be thankful for those that you don't see that are upstairs working week in and week out with these kids. And the same thing goes on Wednesday nights. We've got a great group that meets on Wednesday nights. So if you feel led to help out in any way, please see Kathy. If you feel like helping out on Sunday morning, see Pat or Carolyn. I know that they would love any help that you're willing to do. The nominating committee met this past Thursday night and put together a group of names. Nominating letters will go out probably this next week. If you receive a nominating letter for the upcoming church year, pray over that and then try to get that turned in by February the 18th. Last thing I want to mention, and Gary, Pastor is going to come. He's got something he wants to say as well. But on the 16th of February, this is a Friday. Normally we have a pastor's welcome class on a Saturday morning. We're switching it up a little bit to meet other people's schedules. But we're going to be having a pastor's welcome class Friday, February the 16th from 6 to 9. Some of you have been given letters invited to that class. If you didn't receive one but you still want to come, he's behind again. be looking for those. But if you're interested in coming to that, you can see him.
Yes, there are several letters that will probably go out this week. But at any rate, so just be watching for those things. One of the things we want to do this morning, as the church grows, there are so many things that people are involved in that are wonderful things. And obviously we hope that the ministries of the church that everybody gets involved in. But for years and years and years and years, one of the programs that has existed in virtually every community across America and across into other parts of the world is scouting, okay? And I just found out that today is Scout Sunday. And we have, first of all, let me ask you this. How many of you were ever involved in Tiger Cubs or Boy Scouts anytime growing up? How many of you? Lots of you. Okay. Girl Scouts too, but I'm talking specifically about Boy Scouts today. Okay, you got to bear with me. It's not Girl Scout Sunday, it's Boy Scout Sunday. So get off my back. we do. I knew that wasn't going to work out well. we do want to recognize we have some young men who are involved in scouting, and they've got their scout shirts on today, and so we want you guys to stand. All you guys who have your scout shirts on today. All right, recognize these young men. Okay, good. And just as a side note, of course, there's lots of badges you can earn. Help me, Renee, here. What's it called? Duty to God. Okay, so Cody has, they have come and they took a series of classes. These guys have received, they're going to receive badges for the Duty to God study. So would you congratulate them for those badges they received? Okay. Thank you so much. Pastor, are we at mission moment now? Okay, mission moment.
Our son was a Boy Scout. Don was a scout leader at one time. But we lived in a town where girls weren't, they had no Girl Scouts. What they had was bluebirds, Pastor. And our daughter was a bluebird, and I was a bluebud.
All I can tell you is if somebody comes and tells me Bluebird Sunday, we will recognize the bluebirds.
But anyway, I was a bluebird leader, which is very much like the Girl Scouts. So I just had to bring that out. This month, emphasis is on the alabaster offering.
Campfire girls.
This month is Alabaster Sunday. We have it in September and February. And if you will remember, that's the only offering that our church takes up where 100% of it goes directly for buying of land and building of schools and hospitals and clinics and churches and such as that. And I know some of our work and witness people have actually worked in a facility that has been purchased and bought for and paid by the alabaster offering. And so over in the window, there's some boxes. If you don't have one, you don't have to have a box. We take up offering in a lot of different ways. You can even put a check or cash in, and we'll take that up the last Sunday of the month. But if your alabaster boxes are kind of buried under Christmas stuff, dig them out and start feeding them, because we need a good offering for alabaster. And I was going to say something else this morning about alabaster, but I was handed a letter from one of our sponsored children, Jennifer Lourdes Lopez Sanchez. And if you'll remember, she's the one that I talked about that we had purchased a sewing machine for, and she's taking sewing lessons so eventually she can earn a living that way. But this is a little bit dated because it's a Christmas and New Year's card and wish for us. And it says, "Dear sponsors, I wish you the best time on this holiday, that it will be a great blessing to know we are starting a new year full of peace and blessings. I want to tell you that this is a special time for me because we eat tamales, which is rice dough with the tiny piece of chicken, raisin, prune, a tiny strip of red sweet peppers, and a sauce cooked in a banana leaf." That's a little different than our tamales here, isn't it? "And the drink is hot fruit punch. Bye for now, wishing you the best in the new year. May our Lord Jesus Christ bless you today and always. Merry Christmas and a prosperous new year. Yours truly, Jennifer Lourdes Lopez Sanchez." And I've got a card here that they usually make a card to send to us, and this is pretty neat. We just got this. It was mailed on the 31st of January, so we just got this. And I'll put this out on the bulletin board. It's pretty colorful and looks like she spent a lot of time. So anyway, we need to pray for our two children. We have a boy and a girl that are sponsored children. So pray for them and pray for the alabaster offering, that we'll have a good offering this month. Thank you.
I want you to know we're about to do something that everyone can participate in, whether you're a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout or whatever. We're going to receive our morning offering at this time. So if you have your tithes and offering, we'd like to invite our ushers to come at this time, and we will pass those offerings. Bring our tithes and our offerings into the storehouse, asking you to bless them in the name of Christ, the risen Lord. Amen. My Savior art thou.
Once was
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, there's a lot on our plates, even things probably yet that some of you may not even know or realize. We buried Don Branstein last week, and by now I think most of you know. It amazes me that the story goes that Juanita, of course, has had Alzheimer's for several years now, and that the week that Don passed away, they rolled her into his room, and she basically didn't know who he was, her husband. They held hands for a little bit because the family kind of encouraged that. And then she just kind of backed her wheelchair off and rolled away and rolled out of the room. And it's like, okay, she has no knowledge of what's going on. Don passed away. They informed her. But, of course, she didn't attend the funeral or anything. And then 8 days later, she passed. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know. I don't have all the answers to all these things. But somebody who was supposed to not have an awareness of what was going on, who was supposed to be crippled by Alzheimer's, knew enough that she held on. Multiple times they thought she would pass in the last year. She held on until the husband that she committed herself to for all of her life was gone. And then she let go. That's pretty amazing love. And that's not even anywhere close to what God has for us. And so we need to remember the Branstein extended families. We will have visitation tomorrow night, 6 to 8, Greenlawn South. The graveside service due to the weather forecast has been moved inside to Greenlawn South at 2 o'clock on Tuesday. And then just a few family members will go out to observe the burial at the graveside. I will take Sue this afternoon and Jennifer, and we will go. My aunt Bonnie passed away this past week, and so we will have a visitation this afternoon, and then a funeral service at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And then we were called out in the night, early Friday morning. And Jennifer Stanley, who probably most of you might not have been personally acquainted with, but you know Brother Daryl and Sister Judy, who are members of our congregation, Lonnie and Donna, our aunt and uncle, and Danny, Jennifer's husband, is here for the first time in our service this morning. And Jennifer rolled over in the night. We still don't know exactly what the cause was. They're looking into that. But she passed from this life, 44 years of age. What we do know is that she was a person of faith. She is someone who loved the Lord. And due to the work schedules that she had, oftentimes she was not able to be in church, but she was an example of Jesus Christ to her co-workers and to her family. And so Tara's way ahead of me. But Daryl and Danny, if you don't mind just to kind of stand where you are there, any of you who would like to go this morning as we pray and just to surround them this morning, Judy just could not be here. And what you need to know to understand the gravity of this situation is it was only 5 months ago that that Daryl and Judy's other child, 3 months? 3 months, okay, 3 months, that Jeremy passed away. And so now both of their children have gone before them, which is not the way life is supposed to go. And so out of fresh grief into additional grief this morning. And so we want them to know that we love them and support them and extend our love to them. Jennifer's visitation will be at Metters Funeral Home in Billings on Wednesday evening, 5:30 to 8:30. And then we will have her funeral service on Thursday there at Metter in Billings at 12:30 on Thursday. So a lot of heavy hearts this week. A lot of things going on. So I would appreciate your prayers for me to have God's direction for preparing messages and for ministering to families. And but pray particularly for these families in their times of loss and their grief. That may God's love surround them. May His comfort go to them. And it would be okay this morning. I don't know how many of you have had a chance. Bill and Mandy have been with us for about 3 weeks now. But in our getting acquainted with Bill and Mandy, who are here to my right, Bill just lost his wife on the 8th of December past. And so we have a lot of folks that have been carrying a heavy load. And it would be okay if some of you want to gather there, because when we hear of another person's grief, it refreshes our own grief. And so sometimes it's okay for people to come alongside. Maybe we don't know them by name, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we can come alongside each other and lift each other up and ask the God of all comfort to comfort us afresh and anew again as we are revisited with these thoughts. And so we're going to sing together. We're going to pray for these grieving families. Kelly Rogers and his father are traveling back from Florida. They may well be here back by now. But pray for them as they return and to prepare perhaps for a memorial service here for Kelly's mother. And continue to remember the other items that are within our bulletin. If you have need, the altars are open to you this morning. And if you need a place to pray, you're welcome to come as we sing, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer. Father, we are here today to worship You. We acknowledge in our frailty and in our weakness and in our inability to do anything to help ourselves eternally, that You are sovereign God, creator, sustainer of this entire world. And Lord, we acknowledge that You are all-powerful and all-knowing and all-everything, and we are nothing. And that's not to belittle ourselves. That's just acknowledgement that we are dependent upon You. We cannot do things ourselves. And so, Lord, You are willing and we are in need. So we receive what You have for us this day. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your comfort. We thank You for Your love, grace, and mercy about which we've been singing. We thank You for forgiveness of sins. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for indwelling guidance and leadership. And we thank You for the Word that gives us direction for negotiating this life. And Father, we come before You today broken and needy. We have several within our congregation this morning who have within recent weeks been impacted by death. But Lord, here's what we know. Death doesn't have the final say. For when we are rightly related to you, we have the promise of eternal life and a home in heaven. And Lord, we're pretty sure by the description in the Word, that's a better place than here. And so, Father, our goal is to be rightly related to you, to live out your Word, to be a witness to as many as we can be, but indeed to maintain a relationship with you that will see us all the way into your heaven and eternity with you, eternal life. Father, we realize there's a vast world out there that maybe doesn't know about you yet. And so even in our own grief, and even as we deal with our own emotions and physical losses, Lord, we pray that you would make us conscious of the fact that there are people dying and going to hell every day all around us. And Lord, give us some sense of grief because all of those are your children and your family, and your heart is broken when they depart this earth and are not ready for eternity. So, Father, you've placed us here to be one of them. You have, upon our invitation, you have come into our hearts and lives, and you would like to live in us and shine through us into the lives of others. So, Father, our prayer today is that as you comfort us, as you strengthen us, as you help us, that each day we'll awaken to live in obedience to you, in accordance with your word, and that we will always feel your presence with us, that we will know your guidance, and that we can walk in your footsteps, that you will heal our broken hearts, that you will touch us in our grief with comfort, that you will give us hope beyond the grave. And Father, may we share that hope with everyone we meet. You gave us a mission. You said, go into the world, make disciples. So Lord, the way that we handle times like these, the way that we handle sickness, the way that we handle death, the way that we handle adverse circumstances in our life, the way that we show trust in you in all of these various situations sends a testimony out to the rest of the world. And when they are encountering these kinds of situations and don't have hope and don't have someone to comfort them in their grief, then Lord, perhaps they would ask us, how do you do that? Or who is it that you know that helps you in these kind of times? And Lord, may we be prepared to give an answer as to who you are to us. And Lord, with those that are grieving, this was handed to me, and I pray this prayer. Dear Lord, please help all who are dealing with grief and loss. Help them to know that you are near to the brokenhearted and you are the source of all comfort. They may think they will never be whole again or that they can't survive their pain, but you are faithful and your promises are true. Please remind them that with your help, they will get through all they are facing. May they find your strength in their weakness, and may your hope and peace fill their hearts. In Jesus' name, we ask these things, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. May God's blessing be on you. We have been able to celebrate a lot lately, and we're thankful for that. And so this will be the fourth or fifth pastor's welcome class that we have done since September. And that's good. That's good. We're trying to figure out ways that will help you to be able to learn. These classes are indeed to help you understand who we are, what we believe, why we believe it, where it comes from in the Bible. And so a part of that also is the act of baptism. As people are accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord in their lives, we believe that it is an important step to indeed follow Christ in believer baptism. And so we're working with two or three folks who have spoken to us about that. And so if there are others of you that are interested in being baptized, I would appreciate it if you would communicate with me so that I can kind of get all these things coordinated. We like to do baptisms with special services and do them at a time when you can invite family members. We often schedule them for Sunday nights if need be, because a lot of times your families are engaged in their own churches and their own ministries, and we don't want to take people away from other churches. That's not what we're about. But if we can schedule something on a Sunday evening, a lot of churches don't have Sunday evening services anymore, and if we can schedule that on a Sunday evening so that you can invite all of your family, all of your friends to see you be baptized, because here's what happens is sometimes as new Christians, a lot of your friends haven't come to know Jesus yet. But they love you and they'll support you. And so here's an opportunity that during a baptism service, you can invite them to come and see you be baptized and maybe hear you share a testimony. But I promise you that your pastor is going to share a message during those baptism services to help people understand what we believe about baptism and its significance, and indeed how you come to the point of being baptized, which is to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so we will do our best to help you to share that message that you have accepted with your family and friends, and we'll all celebrate it together and enjoy it. And we will have another celebration here within the time of this service this morning, which is communion to sit together at the Lord's table. And so we look forward to that. And I have been trying to pray and seek God's direction. And I ought to know by now, I've been doing this for over 40 years. But I ought to know by now that oftentimes when I think I know why God is prompting me about a subject, and when I think that I know maybe who he might be hoping will hear that message, invariably I ought to know they're not going to be here. Because when I start thinking for God, I get in trouble. And so I just try to listen to God, and I try to do what he has asked me to do and lay on my heart to do. And so also in trying to help new converts along the way, we've been trying to do some fundamental teaching, both in our Wednesday night Bible studies and in these Sunday morning messages. And our hope is that if they're not here, that they, like others, can go on the internet, onto our website, and pick up a message that they might have missed that hopefully would be helpful to them. But I want to speak to you this morning on a subject that I think is very clear in the Scripture. And so I'm going to try to be concise and simple this morning and quick about it. But I don't believe there's any wiggle room here. I believe this is a directive from God. And it's not if you agree or if you think that might be right. I'm pretty sure this is pretty black and white. And so God is saying, listen to me. This is what I want. And as Christians, we're trying to follow Jesus. And so to follow Jesus, we need to understand Jesus' teaching. Because to be a follower of Jesus Christ means to embrace his school of thought. Okay? And so they inspired, God inspired men to record history. He inspired them to record their time with Jesus. He inspired them to write letters to the churches, giving them direction. And so I take text this morning from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 33 and 34, and some words that the Apostle Paul spoke. And I want to just give you a very succinct directive this morning. Okay? Stop sinning. Now, with that said, I hope you realize that my outburst this morning was in jest and in fun. But if you didn't understand that, then I repent. And I seek God's forgiveness for any offense that I might have created to the Girl Scouts. But that was all in fun. And so, living in a world that is trying so hard to be politically correct when we're trying so hard just to be followers of Jesus, sometimes those two don't mix. And it's a challenge. So you pray for your challenged pastor that he will do well. All right, verses 33 and 34, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Here's what I want you to hear. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. For there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. Now that seems really black and white, but here's where it gets gray. What exactly is sinning? Now that's a whole nother message, and I don't have time to preach that whole message this morning, so I'm going to give you a very, very brief thought, because when the Bible goes out, what we want is to try to understand the Bible as God intended it to be read and to be heard. So, based on a couple of things, I think we can find some help here this morning. So, I want to refer you to James chapter 4. And I want us to hear this thought. James chapter 4 and verse 17. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Okay? So, when we're thinking about sin in terms of God, how he looks at us and how he judges us, sin is knowing to do something and not doing it. If I don't do what I ought to do, and I know I ought to do it, I'm sinning. That's what it says right there. Okay? Then I want to add to that this thought in 1 John chapter 5, verse 17. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. So, these are the two verses in the Bible that specifically in black and white say, this is sin. And what it in essence says is, when you know something to do and you don't do it, that's sin. You're disobeying by not doing what you know to do. So, we talked about this. We harped on this a year ago. What's the last thing Jesus said to us when he left the earth? Go make disciples. So if we're not out there in some way sharing our faith and trying to encourage people to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we are not doing the good we know to do. Because it's in black and white. Go make disciples. Which means get outside the walls of the church. Don't wait for them to come to you. But as you go. That's that literally the word go in the Great Commission means as you are going. So that means in your daily lifestyle, in a natural way, not necessarily confrontational, not trying to create problems, but as you go, conduct yourself in such a way that people can see the love of God in you, and when you have the opportunity, you will open your mouth and speak on God's behalf. Okay? So you get that part. Then it says all wrongdoing is sin. Now, God has already attached the thought that what you know to do or not to do is part of the issue. Not everybody knows all the same stuff. This is a cool thing about God, because while we don't judge each other very well, and we probably ought to quit trying, God judges us correctly and fairly. So, in essence, let's just simplify it. If I know I should do it and I don't do it, it's a sin. If I know I shouldn't do it and I do it, it's a sin. That's pretty clear, isn't it? Okay? No excuses, no rationalizations, no thinking that God should treat you differently than he treats anybody else. The rules are the same for everybody. The directives are the same. So we just need to get with the program. The scripture says here, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. Now, I believe ignorant here is not intended to be an insult. I think it literally means there are some people that are doing wrong or not doing right because they've not yet come to an understanding of what God expects of them. They are ignorant. Okay? So part of our job as the church is to preach and to teach Sunday school, Bible study. We try to create small groups. We try to create all these opportunities for people to understand the Word, because what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? To adhere to his teaching. How well can you follow Jesus Christ if you don't study anything at all that tells you what he taught? Thus the value of reading the Word. Because the Bible is the only place that records what Jesus taught. It's the only place that records what God thought. It's our authority. So we need to read it, embrace it, memorize it, absorb it, and put it into practice. That's what it means to be a follower of God. And there is a difference between don't know and won't do. Amen. We're talking about choices, folks. We're talking about choices. Okay? Here's what I know. Three simple things about sin. Stop sinning. It is God's will that we stop sinning. Let me read to you a couple of examples. We were in this passage on Sunday evening in John chapter 5, and I believe that your stuff says verse 15. That's my fault that I gave a wrong text to. It's actually verse 14 that I want you to note. And so we're looking at John chapter 5, verse 14. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. The deal is, here's a man who had been laying beside a pool for 38 years as a cripple, and the belief was that the pool had magic capabilities. And lots of crippled people laid around there, and other people with maladies of various kinds. And when someone would stir the water, I don't know who the someone was, or I don't know what stirred the water, but when the water was stirred, there was a mad rush for the water. And the first person to get in the water gets healed. That was the belief. So the people believed there was this magic capacity. Jesus walks up to this guy who's been laying there for 38 years, and he says, "Excuse me, do you want to get well?" Now, the guy doesn't say, "You're Jesus, the faith healer." Here's what he says. He says, "I don't have anybody to get me to the water when the water's stirred. So all these other people who are not as crippled as I am, or crippled in a different way than I am, they run to the water and I'm stuck here. I come here every day, and every day is the same for 38 years. Do you want to get well?" He's already thinking, "I'm not going to get well." He doesn't recognize Jesus. I'm telling you, if that guy would have known that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who could heal anybody, was standing in front of him saying, "Do you want to get well?" You know what he would have said? He would have said, "Yes!" Not "nobody carries me." So Jesus
even without him exercising any faith or even knowing who Jesus was, Jesus said, pick up your mat and go home. Here's the really cool part. For whatever reason, he just did it. He didn't say, excuse me, who are you to be telling me to get up? Do you see I'm crippled? He saw an opportunity and he seized it, and it produced a reward. Now, the practice was that if you got healed from something and you got past some disease, you went to the temple and the priest would declare you clean instead of unclean, and then you had to hang out with people socially. So here's what we know. Later, Jesus found him at the temple. So Jesus went to the temple and there he was. Jesus knew he was there. Jesus knew that's where he was going to be. Jesus had disappeared into the crowd earlier. So when the Pharisee said, who healed you? He said, I don't know. He's gone. But Jesus came to him at the temple and said, listen, brother, if you're interested in what I think, let me tell you what I think. You've been blessed with healing. Stop sinning. Because I'm going to heal you spiritually as well as physically. He always did that. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. A woman has been caught in adultery. They're preparing to stone her. Jesus writes some stuff in the dirt. They all go away. Jesus straightened up and asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? And she looked around. No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Not, you know, listen, I got an idea for you. You know, as you're going through life here somewhere in the next few years, you probably ought to change some of the way you're living. Maybe life would be better if you would consider not doing. You know, really, I don't want to mess with you. I don't want to get in your way. You know, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to make life inconvenient for you. So here's a suggestion. He didn't say any of that stuff. He didn't qualify any of that stuff because he was Jesus, the Son of God. And he said, I have just come here and stepped into your life in such a way as your life will never, ever be the same again. Stop sinning. Go and leave your life of sin. Now, did they know every detail that entailed? No, I don't think so. I think they were ignorant of God, like that passage talks about in Corinthians. I don't think they had an idea what that totally meant, but I think they did have an idea of some things they'd probably been doing they felt guilty about that they probably knew they ought to quit right now. But isn't it amazing that when we meet Jesus Christ and we want to get our get out of hell card, that we don't really want to hear much after that? I want to be eternally blessed with life, but don't mess with me right here on earth with all the details. And Jesus is saying, I put you here so not only you could be saved, but everybody around you. And the only way they're going to know me is to see me in you, because they don't get me. I'm invisible to some of them. They don't understand me. They see you. You're like them. So when your life is changed and they notice the difference, they'll ask you questions and you'll tell them about me. And then I get to be in their life too. So here's the deal. You got to quit acting like them. Stop sinning. It is the will of God that we stop sinning when we become Christians. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. Now, if God didn't think it was possible not to sin, would he write it in the book? My little children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but it's impossible not to sin, so have a good time trying. That's not what he said. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, now that's huge. The word if is huge. Because it says if somebody sins, not when somebody sins. when would mean, but when somebody sins, that would mean you're going to sin. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm just telling you ahead of time, you're going to have to confess a lot of stuff and ask for a lot of forgiveness because you're going to sin. That is not what he said. He said, my little children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Now, the reason this is so huge to me theologically is that when you stop and think about this deal of stop sinning, there is a teaching out there that says anything less than the absolute standard of perfection is sin. Therefore, you're going to sin every day in word, thought, and deed because you can't help yourself. Here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that I agree with them in the respect that you're not going to be absolutely perfect. I'm going to tell you that you're going to do some things not known out of ignorance that may hurt people or offend people or do something God's going, oh man, I wish they hadn't said or done that. But you're not going to know that until it happens and it's brought to your attention. And so the damage is already done, and God is real good with damage control when people are seeking forgiveness and apologizing and making things right. But what he's saying to us is, I would like to help you live your life in such a way that you don't have to say, I'm sorry so much. I would like to help you live your life in such a way as you don't have to go back and try to make things right. You don't have to pay restitution because you don't mess up. You make right choices. What he's saying here is that he's basically saying it is possible for you not to sin. And the only way that's going to happen is when sin is defined as a choice. Something I know where I intentionally rebel by not doing what I know to do or by doing what I know not to do. So it's intentional. This is intentional rebellion against God. This is not, oh, I accidentally messed up and now I'm going to go to hell. You don't have to live in that kind of fear. That is not how God deals with these people. God is telling you, go and sin no more, stop sinning, get your head together and stop sinning. He's saying that because what he's saying is, I know perfectly well that I can help you to make right choices about the things that you know. And in terms of hellfire and eternal judgment, if you do what you know to do or don't do what you know not to do, then I'm going to judge you on what, because I know everything that you know. Your friends and neighbors don't. Your husband and wives don't even know what you know. But God knows what you should know, what you've had the opportunity to know, and what you do know. And he judges you in terms of eternity based on how you respond to the information you have. He also responds to the fact, though, that you might not be trying to find any information, because we kind of think ignorance is bliss. Uh-uh. When Jesus Christ comes into your heart and life, you have a responsibility to immediately begin to pursue what he teaches. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. It is God's will that you stop sinning. It's why Jesus came. Let me jump through this really quickly. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Jesus came. He was born. Why? To save the people in their sins. No? Did I read that wrong? What does it say? He came to save the people from their sin. That means he's going to get you out of it, not pull you through it. He came to save. Jesus came as a babe to save people from sin, not in sin. It's the reason he came, and if you don't believe it, then they follow it up in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, because it's also the reason he died. It's the reason he was born. It's the reason he died. He suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy. Look up the word holy. You know what it means? It means to be without sin, to be spiritually pure. So it's the reason he lived. It's the reason he died. It's the whole reason he was here. It's God's will. We can see it in the Word. Stop sinning. It's why Jesus came and died, and it's our choice. Let me take you to Romans chapter 6. Let me read a couple of verses, and then we're going to jump to verse 6. First two verses. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Now jump to verse 6 for sake of time. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. That's carnal nature. That's what it's talking about. Original sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve. That's what the body of sin is. Might be done away with. We should be no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, here it is. Therefore, this is your choice. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are under law, not under law, but under grace. So here's the deal. It's God's will that you stop sinning. It's why Jesus came to the earth, was to give you the ability not to sin through his Holy Spirit in you. But here's the deal. God's not going to force it on you. It's your choice. You don't have to become a Christian. And you can go through the motions of accepting Jesus Christ and then maybe say, I don't want to know anything else. I don't want to learn anymore. I don't want to know anymore. Because the more I learn, the more I have to do. But you can choose to be delivered, and God would like for you to. And God wants to help you as a follower of Jesus Christ to live and act and think like Jesus Christ did while he was here, which was to be submissive to his Father and whatever his plan for him. Jesus came here for a reason, didn't he? Jesus came here for what reason? To die. That's why he came. He came to be our atonement. He came to be the sacrifice for our sin. He came to die. We get all mad. We get all mad at the guys that, you know, that were yelling crucify him, but those people actually were doing God's will. Because Jesus had to die for us to live. Now, we know that they didn't know that. They weren't part of a willing, consenting to a plan. They were being evil. And that's why it bothers us. But it had to happen. It had to happen for God to get Jesus on the cross and for him to shed his blood so that you and I could be forgiven. But he didn't hang on the cross and stay there. He didn't stay in a grave. He arose. He's alive and well, sits at the right hand of the Father and intercedes on our behalf and fills us with his Holy Spirit as a guidance counselor to walk alongside us and help us make right decisions, and gives us his word so we can just read stuff that says, don't do that. And so if you read something in the Bible that says, don't do that, guess what you ought to do? You ought to not do that. And if there's some things in there where the Bible says, do this, then what had you ought to do? This. This is not real hard, is it? It's not hard to know it, but it's hard to do it sometimes because the enemy fights us. And if we haven't booted the devil out of our life, or allowed God to boot, we're not going to do it. We haven't allowed God to boot the devil out of our life and get rid of original sin and carnal nature, then the devil has an internal foothold and motivates us from the inside out to do what we hadn't ought to do. That's why we have to give up our lives to God. We have to die to ourselves and live to Christ. Because God wants to help us get where we need to go. And I need to help you get where you need to go. This morning, and Amanda, you can come, thank you. This morning, we're going to sit at the Lord's table. And we're going to observe the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And we're going to enjoy what God provided for us. Jesus died not only to forgive us, which we know he did that. He came to forgive our sins. But read Hebrews 13:12. He didn't die just to forgive us. He died to deliver us from the sin nature we inherited from Adam that causes us to rebel against him. He wants to cleanse us from that. He wants to fill us with his Holy Spirit and give us the ability with his help, not on our own, not of our own power, but by the Holy Spirit that lives in us, he gives us the ability to make right choices and live right lives. So I don't know what that's going to mean for you. I don't know what that means for you. I mean, we can teach what the Church of the Nazarene believes about stuff, and we can say, okay, here's what we believe and why. Here's what it says in the Bible. But you're going to have to take that, and you're going to have to pray over it, and you're going to say, God, how do you want me to live? What does this mean for me? Because this is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you can't change the Scripture. If the Scripture says to do something, it doesn't mean everybody but you has to do this. If it says it in the book, you got to do it. Sorry, yes, that is. Just telling you the truth. Pastor Tom, Pastor Don, if you got... Okay, he's coughing. Okay. All right, here's how we're going to do this morning. Sometimes we come to you. This morning we're going to ask you to come to us. Tom's going to take these elements. I'm going to take these elements. And so this group will come into this aisle, single file, get the bread and the juice, and return to your seat and hold it until we give you direction. This group will step into this aisle this way, and we'll all orderly come and get the elements and go. The Lord Himself ordained this holy sacrament. He commanded His disciples to partake of the bread and the wine, emblems of His broken body and shed blood. This is His table. This feast is for His disciples. I want you to listen to this sentence. It's part of our ritual. Let all those who have with true repentance forsaken their sins. You know what that means? That means not a bunch of people making excuses for living the way they want to. That means people who are listening to the Word of God and adhering their life to that. Okay? Forsaking your sins. As soon as you know that something is wrong, you stop it. And you ask God to deliver you and to give you victory. Let all those who have a true repentance forsaken their sins and have believed in Christ unto salvation draw near and take these emblems and by faith partake of the life of Jesus Christ to your soul's comfort and joy. And let us remember that it is the memorial of the death and passion of our Lord, also a token of His coming again. And let us not forget that we are one at one table with the Lord. That is so cool. We're family. We're family. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're brothers and sisters with everybody else who does. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes we act just like family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, but we pick at each other. We complain about each other. You know, we get in the car and go home and talk about each other. Because we're family. That's what family does. I don't always like what my brother Eddie does. Now, he's been handicapped since he was 19, so a lot of this is off the table now because he's not mentally competent in some cases. But up until he was 19, he used to pick on me a lot. My mom and dad would go to town and leave us at home together. He'd beat me up. And I didn't like him when he did that. But better not ever be anybody say anything to me about my brother Eddie. Because if they did, they were in trouble. Because I loved him. I still love him to this day. That's why I'm his legal guardian. And every once in a while, we're going to do some stuff that the rest of us don't like. You know what old Bill did? Bill did this. Why did Bill do that? John did this. Old John. Why did old John do that? Well, because we're human beings. And we forgive each other when we mess up and we come alongside each other and we help each other out of the ditch and we hold hands and we pull each other up when we're down. And we love on each other no matter how much we don't like each other sometimes. Okay, that's family. We have the privilege, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have the privilege today because Jesus died, because His blood was shed and His body was broken. We have the privilege today to be family. And you know what the coolest thing is? Jesus, the divine Son of God, is your brother. That's not too bad a deal. And God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, is your father. And he's got a table set. And one of these days we're going home for supper. When I go to my mama's house, she cooks what I like. She wants me to come. I don't know what God's got totally prepared, but I know we're going to like it. It's good stuff. So we're going to ask you this morning. And if you're here this morning, we have no desire to embarrass anybody, okay? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and so you don't feel right at taking communion, or if you're here this morning and there's something going on in your life right now that you know you're not where you need to be with God, and for whatever reason you say, I'm not taking communion, that's okay. What I would invite you to do is just slip in the line, come right on by. If you don't take anything off the trays, that's okay. But we're not here to point anybody out or single anybody out, okay? But we do want to celebrate as a family of God what God's done for us, okay? And so we're inviting you. And here's what's going to happen. We're going to pray. We're going to pray before we walk around here. And you know what can happen when we pray? You can pray. And if you'll pray and just whatever's going on between you and God, you just give it to Him. God can deal with it like that. And you can come and have the body and the blood. Because God's not looking to keep anybody out of His heaven. God wants people coming in. So let's pray. Father, we're here today to celebrate You. Oh, I know it's Super Bowl Sunday and we get all wound up about that. But I'm pretty wound up about the fact that You sent Jesus and He was born here and became a man and He died on a cross and shed His blood and gave me eternal life. I think that's the best thing that happened today. And it's okay to celebrate and have fun and get caught up in different entertainments and things of this world. But the bottom line is today is Your day. And above all else, we celebrate You. And this is a super Sunday because Jesus died for us. So Lord, right now, if there's anything in our lives that's not the way You want it to be, would you just right quick, right now, would you just point that out to us? And Lord, as quickly as You point it out to us, if we're willing to give it up, if we're willing to give it to You, You'll forgive us right here, right now, in an instant. And it'll be well with our soul, and we'll be right with You, and we can take this meal, this supper, this communion, in celebration of what You've done and expectation of what You're going to do when You come again. So, Lord, take our weaknesses and our frailties, point them out to us, and help us to overcome them. We love You. We want to be saved, sanctified, and filled with Your Spirit, and we want to be telling people about You. So help us get that done. Because we're not going to get anything done without Your help. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge that we need You. We're needy. We're needy people. We need You. And so come into our heart and life and give us what we need today. We receive it with gladness. And thank You for what You've done for us. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. We're going to invite you to stand. If those two sections will come by Pastor Tom, if you guys will come this way, we'll pass the elements. Just return to your seat and hold the element. We'll all take it at the same time together.